On July 23rd, 2025, President Trump signed 3 executive orders aimed at solidifying U.S. leadership in artificial intelligence, with one specifically targeting the acceleration of data center construction. The new policy promotes the use of federal lands, including brownfield and Superfund sites. Brownfield and Superfund sites are basically former industrial sites, generally found in urban areas that are complicated by the potential presence of hazardous substances, pollutants, or contaminants. A $500 billion private sector partnership has already been formed with companies like OpenAI, Oracle, and SoftBank to construct up to 20 AI data centers across the United States. Meanwhile, Meta has unveiled ambitious plans to build massive AI data centers, including the Hyperion project in Louisiana, projected to scale up to 5 gigawatts of computational power over several years, and the Prometheus cluster in Ohio, set to come online in 2026, with 1 gigawatt and 500,000 GPUs. Additionally, Meta is developing multiple Titan clusters, with each facility's footprint rivaling significant portions of Manhattan. Additionally, data centers use water for cooling servers and other IT equipment to prevent overheating. A hyperscale center can guzzle 3 to 5 million gallons per day. In 2021, data centers collectively consumed 449 million gallons per day, while the rest of America consumed 39 billion gallons per day. So data centers used roughly an additional 1% of water resources. But as small as these numbers are today, the AI data center juggernaut is inevitably barreling headlong into a water-starved future, and the battleground is smack dab in America's driest regions. Out in the Southwest, Arizona's a ticking time bomb. Phoenix and Mesa are drowning in data centers while the Colorado River chokes. Google is already gulping millions of gallons a day, elbowing out farmers and folks just trying to keep their taps running. California's Central Valley and Southern Sprawl are getting hammered too, with new server farms piling onto a state already choked by drought. Then there's Texas. Abilene staring down the barrel of OpenAI's Stargate behemoth, a project set to suck up water in a state where droughts are legendary and farmers are fighting for scraps. Over in Georgia, places like Newton County are already paying the price, wells running dry, water turning to sludge, and a looming deficit by 2030. Virginia is currently the king of data centers, with Northern Virginia's server farms multiplying like roaches, draining resources while locals and industries beg for relief. Some outfits are tinkering with air cooling or recycling water, but it's a drop in the bucket against the tidal wave of AI's thirst, set to explode by 2027.
But then there's no lobbying group, no environmental group, no group saying this summer in the real studies by the major 5 power grids that they're all on the verge of collapse just because of AI data centers, including the main East Coast grid, the biggest. But they say global warming, you'll have blackouts, the power's about to go out. But they never say in those articles, it's because AI is already slurping up 40% of the power produced in the United States while they shut down the power plants. So you don't get power, but AI gets all the power it ever wants because they're paving the way for it, because it will control everything we do, but only the power we give it.
New categorical exclusions under the National Environmental Policy Act and Streamlined Clean Water Act permits aim to remove barriers to data center construction, potentially increasing reliance on energy-intensive sources like coal, as outlined in an April 2025 executive order promoting coal infrastructure for AI facilities, a resource that Democrats want to eliminate. The road to AI innovation is now entering a new roller coaster phase, establishing...
Historians have pointed it out for thousands of years. Most people, when history is happening right in front of them, don't realize it until later. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has changed the world. You are the InfoWar. You're the eyes and ears. You're the reason we're on the air. You're the reason we're having so much success. And the bad guys hate InfoWars above all other independent populist media. So if you want to keep us on the air and take part in history, we have a limited edition, murdered out InfoWars fundraiser shirt, black on black, at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you get all the other apparel for way lower prices. We've got a big deal going right now where you buy one, you get one free if you're a VIP. That's incredible for the supplements as well. But with this shirt, we've marked it up a bit for those of you that really want to support the InfoWar and get this limited edition shirt. So get your InfoWars limited edition murdered out shirt right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is a limited edition. Thanks for your support, and thanks for being part of history.
Dismantling the system of control, it's InfoWars Sunday Briefing with Nick Sordor.
All right, welcome to the InfoWars Sunday Briefing. I am Nick Sordor, your host for today. And, you know, like every week under the Trump administration, this week was no different. Another big week, lots of stuff going on. And, you know, in Texas as well, where InfoWars is based. I also, Chase Geiser is here with us as well. Not here, but in that studio. And being that he's actually in Texas, I kind of want to bring this up here because it looks like the state of Texas has approved the committee anyway in the House has approved a map to redraw the congressional districts and hopefully add 5 Republican seats in the U.S. Congress. Sounds like a dream. I think we should do that all across the country. The Democrats have already done it in a bunch of different states. So why can't we? Why can't we do it? Best part, Jasmine Crockett happens to be drawn out of her district. She's been complaining and whining about it. So luckily, you know, we might be losing Jasmine Crockett next session. Not sure. This hasn't actually passed the Texas legislature fully yet. It's still proposed, but the map is very, very red. Chase Geiser, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up, man?
All right. I gotta ask you this because a lot of people like to play, you know, like, oh, well, if we do that, the Democrats are going to do it. Have the Democrats not been pulling this crap for decades at this point? Is that still a valid argument?
Well, they absolutely have. And a lot of people disregard the deal with illegal immigration. They think, all right, we've got all these illegal immigrants coming into the United States of America, and it's the Democrats planning to steal as many votes as possible with election fraud. And certainly there's some truth to that, but the real issue with that is all the immigrants flooded in, and then they were sent to these various sanctuary cities, which happen to be in blue states, and then every 10 years there's a census. And then the illegal immigrants, regardless of whether they vote or not, are counted in the census in these blue states, which give states like California and others disproportionate representation in the House of Representatives of the United States Congress, right? And so, look, if Texas is able to redraw the districts and get more Republicans in Congress, that's great. And Democrats can criticize it all day long, and Republicans can push back and say, you've been doing the same thing with illegal immigrants. Absolutely, 100%. But you know what, dude? This week, my wife was talking to ChatGPT and trying to figure out what her political persuasion is. She knows exactly what she believes on every issue, but like many Americans, feels alienated from what either political party has been doing lately. You know, you've got the Mike Johnsons with their congressional committees to go to Israel and stuff like that. And we see Ukrainian flags flying around in Congress, regardless of whether it's Republicans or Democrats in office. And this is the first time I ever heard this because I guess I'm just not that politically savvy, believe it or not. But ChatGPT described my wife as post-partisan. And frankly, that's where I am right now, Nick. I don't give a fuck who's in power because they both suck all the time. And all I can feel is rage. What do you think?
Yeah, you're feeling a little politically homeless. Like, I guess it's a step beyond politically homeless.
I'm post-partisan. I'm post-partisan.
Post-partisan. You know, but look, so you brought up this congressional delegation that's going to Israel, and I was able to find out last night from here in D.C. that, you know, the Senate was having this argument back and forth with Chuck Schumer, right, that the Republicans were, and President Trump, and there was this negotiation going on or whatever to stop the Democrats from delaying President Trump's nominations. Now, a Senate staffer, an angry Senate staffer from the GOP reached out to me and said, you know why
Chuck Schumer has us backed into a corner because he knows that we're supposed to be going overseas tomorrow, and we don't want to cancel that, or our leadership doesn't want to cancel that. Schumer knows that, so Schumer got his way. Schumer won that whole thing last night. You know, we hardly got any nominees through. We still have 130 nominee backlog, and John Thune is blocking President Trump from making recess appointments. I mean, how do you not chalk that up as a Democrat win, you know, an America lost Democrat win where Congress decided, okay, yeah, screw the American people because we want to go overseas for a few days.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. And I think this is a common mistake that the American people make. I make this mistake very often myself. It is so easy for us to write all of these people off as completely incompetent. You see the videos or the images of Chuck Schumer trying to make a burger, and every American who's ever made a burger is like, what the hell is that? We see all their policy suggestions and how just asinine they all are. Everything from universal basic income to affordable housing for everyone to buying up thousands upon thousands of acres of federal parkland in order to turn it into affordable housing, even though there isn't plumbing for 100 miles. I mean, they seem so incompetent, but they are incredibly incompetent at politics. They're good at nothing else, but they're incredibly talented at staying in power and expanding their own power. I mean, if Nancy Pelosi can do nothing else, she can certainly stay in power and then figure out how to inside trade. If Hillary Clinton doesn't know what to do about Benghazi or anything else, she certainly knows how to stay in power and expand power, other than when she goes against Trump, who won. So this is one of the things I think we have to remember. This is my point here, is that despite the fact that we're faced with enemies and supervillains who are abundantly retarded in almost every imaginable way, they are not to be underestimated in terms of what they're able to accomplish politically, because that is their forte. I mean, just as Michael Jordan was good at basketball or Tiger Woods was good at golf, Chuck Schumer is good at being a shithead politician.
You know, I guess that begs the question, Chase, why can't we have shithead politicians then? I mean, you got to fight fire with fire, man. I mean, we can't just play cutesy time every time that we get power here if they're going to just kick us in the balls every single time they have the opportunity while they have power. I mean, we'd be naive to think that Democrats are never going to get power again. We're hoping so. We're hoping that we can, you know, redistrict some states, get rid of their hyper-partisan seats. You know, the Supreme Court is hearing this case that is potentially going to ban race-based districts that the Democrats decided they were going to draw all over the country. And, you know, I can't believe that wasn't already banned. I mean, that seems like blatant racism. That's how you end up with people like Jasmine Crockett in the first place and Maxine Waters and all those, dumb broads that I had a clip that was queued up here, and, you know, maybe we'll find another segment of Jasmine Crockett. One of the things that there was a video of these ghetto congressional members up here in D.C. arguing, yelling at each other during a hearing. And it's like, we have devolved as a country. And, you know, we got to take it back through any means necessary, man. I don't feel bad about redrawing the lines in our
I don't feel bad about redrawing the lines either. I think the problem actually goes back to the people. And I hate to say that because I love the people. But Republicans as a voter base seem to be content with politicians who say the right things regardless of what they do. So we understand, I think, subconsciously.
And then they end up like, you know, I think people are waking up to that, though, Chase. When we sit here and talk about the lack of arrests and stuff, people notice that Pam Bondi, she hasn't been on Fox a lot recently because I think, you know, maybe they learned. But that's what people were pissed off about. It's like they're tired of, I see it through posts, too. When I'm relaying information on X of some official saying, you know, something like, oh, well, you know, the statute of limitations aren't up for Hillary Clinton and her cronies and such. But people just don't get excited over that anymore because they're not seeing any results. What's there to be excited about? You know, they're getting fatigued over this.
I don't know if you ever had like a friend or just somebody that you networked with professionally. I used to run into this all the time when I was in Nashville. We would call them wantrepreneurs. They're people that had a business and business cards and t-shirt and a logo and a website, but they had no clients. And they would always say what they were going to do, and they would try to build their whole brand of what they were going to do, but they wouldn't actually ever do anything. That's the way that I feel about Republicans right now. Democrats are incredible at doing terrible things. Republicans are incredible at failing to do good things most of the time. And look, I think that I support this big, beautiful bill. All in all, I understand why he did it when he did it and why he expanded the funding the way that he did so that he wouldn't have to run into Democrats time and time again over the course of his next term. I mean, basically everything he wants to do over the next 4 years just passed in one piece of legislation. So I get why he did it, but we, I believe as voters have to vote for people and against people and primary people based on what they actually get done instead of what they say. Like, God, I mean, I love Thomas Massie. I love everything that he says. I agree with him on all of his votes, but we need people who actually get things done. And I just think that's something that's totally lacking from the right.
Yeah. And so, you mentioned something about land grabs earlier. So that's what I want the next segment to be about here. I want to talk about land grabs, Oprah, and Hawaii. That's going to be the next topic here. On the InfoWars Sunday briefing, we'll bring Chase back in after the break. Stay tuned, guys.
This is a major TheAlexShowStore.com news alert. I am cutting this announcement on the 30th of July, 2025. That means you've only got 7 days to take advantage of this massive sale at TheAlexShowStore.com. Store-wide, buy one bottle of any of the amazing supplements or any of the Patriot Apparel t-shirts, ball caps, you name it, and you get another item absolutely free at TheAlexShowStore.com. And there's a catch, but it's a good catch. You gotta be a VIP. It's $30 a month. It's just like being an Amazon Prime. You get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special deals, special offers, special sales. You get massive discounts on every product right away by being a VIP. And you can cancel with one click in your profile anytime. Go to TheAlexShowStore.com right now and get ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid. Buy one, get one free. Power Plant, next level energy, way stronger than even Turbo Force. It's crazy. You add it with methylene drive product, it's dangerous. Be careful. These are incredible products. The Shilajit capsules and gummies. Ultimate Burn, incredible natural fat burning formula. Works great, people love it. Ultimate CMOS gummies and the capsules. The very strongest turmeric, prebiotics, probiotics, gut cleanse. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. For the next 7 days, buy one, get one free when you're a VIP. I want to thank you all for your support. These are incredible products. Take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com and experience what it does for your health and overall vitality and know you're fighting the tip of the spear. Thank you so much for your support. Go now to TheAlexJonesStore.com.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
I saw Alex Jones and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight.
Taking back my health.
You're so good. That's the only impression I could do.
Hey, Alex looks good, man. Lost some weight.
He
looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked. It's showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
talking about Oprah in the next segment here. Kate's going to be queuing all that up, get us some graphics ready and everything like that. But in the meantime, this is what I want to discuss, you know, because as we know now, the Senate has gone home. I'm sorry, not home. They've gone to Israel and France and Germany for their congressional delegation. I don't know why. Sounds more like... I don't know. Look, I don't think they should be leaving the country right now. There's no reason for them to be leaving the country. And I feel like that's a 90-10 issue. What does anybody benefit from them going overseas right now? Nothing at all. They should be here working. But anyway, what the one thing, the one beneficial thing that did get done last night was confirming U.S. Attorney Judge Jeanine Pirro. Now, why this is good is, so Judge Jeanine Pirro has been talking a lot over the years, a lot. She's been fiercely going after the lack of justice here in D.C. But, you know, some people may argue, well, that was just talk. That was there's no action that's going to come out of that. But we're going to see here very shortly. We're going to see her very shortly because now she's been confirmed. She's one of the only bulldogs so far that have been confirmed by the Senate in a position that can go after people here in Washington, D.C., and not get fired by the Senate for it, you know, because say she goes and arrests Adam Schiff. There's very little the Democrats can do about it at this point. They probably could have done something about it before. They probably could have recruited Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins. So I'm hoping what happens here is that she is, that it's a green light, that she can march the marshals over to the U.S. Capitol building right here and arrest somebody like Adam Schiff, who we know now lied about the Russia collusion hoax, spent millions and millions of dollars doing so, millions of your dollars, and other emails back and forth between him and his cronies admitting that he didn't know whether or not the evidence was real or if it was fabricated or how much confidence there was in this. So, look, he's an easy target. We also have the mortgage fraud that was uncovered by the Federal Finance Housing Administration. And you can't lie on your mortgage application. You can't sign an affidavit saying that you that this is going to be your primary residence, because he already has one out in California. This is one from Maryland, right up the street here. He's the, at the time, was the representative from California. Okay? So either A, he's ineligible for office and should be removed immediately, or B, he committed mortgage fraud and tax fraud and insurance fraud. That's easy. You know, put him in cuffs for that. We'll start there. That's fine. The American people want to see arrests. They want to see people held accountable for something. Okay? Open that door up. Start doing it. Get the people used to it at this point. Okay? You know, because it might sting a little bit when somebody gets finally thrown in handcuffs. But that's what needs to be done for the longevity of this country. We saw what they did to President Trump. We saw, and luckily Jack Smith also under investigation now by the Office of the Special Counsel. He is the one that authorized the raid on Mar-a-Lago as well, or applied for the warrant to raid Mar-a-Lago. He should be having his house raided at this point. There should be marshals, FBI, at his door in the middle of the night, raiding his wife's underwear drawers, because that's what he had done to President Trump down there at Mar-a-Lago. And we know that this was a witch hunt. We know that this was a political game. He violated the Hatch Act, okay? He works for the government. He was involved in political activities, violation of the Hatch Act. Pretty cut and dry. Pretty cut and dry. But what people don't want to hear anymore is just, oh, well, somebody is under investigation, or somebody has been referred to the DOJ. Those words are almost meaningless at this point. We're not seeing any action. By this point, the backlog is so long that we're not going to get to even if we started like tomorrow, you know, we're still not going to get as many arrests and cases and convictions as we need to get by the end of President Trump's term. So, you know, I know the argument is, oh, well, we have to build cases and such, like, The Department of Justice has a budget of almost $40 billion per year. What are all these people doing? What are they all doing? How come we don't have the manpower to arrest corrupt politicians here in Washington, D.C.? You know, I feel like those cases, of course you want to prioritize, like child trafficking and gangbangers and things like that. But, you know, if the FBI has the resources to chase down thousands and thousands of people that walked around the Capitol here for a couple of hours on January 6th through nothing but the color of their shoes being able to track them down across the country, we can't arrest one corrupt politician in Washington, D.C.? We can't get any data on any of them? I mean, you've got to be kidding me. It's right in front of their eyes. So you're like, what is the, I believe the FBI has it, but it's up to the DOJ to actually move forward with it. I don't know how else to say it. It's like, you know, you try to give these people the benefit of the doubt and be like, oh, they're working. Like, on what? It seems like the DOJ is focused on yelling at colleges because something about anti-Semitism, like they're allowing protests on campus and for Palestine, and that's, I guess, discriminatory against Israel or something. And that's what you keep seeing out of these DOJ officials that are tweeting all the time, being like, oh, well, we're cracking down on anti-Semitism. How about anti-Americanism? How about, you know, just what these people do up here all day long, every single day, is sell you out. They sell you down the river, and they use your tax dollars to do it, and they all get filthy rich. They use what they know in Congress to, you know, make $440 million like Nancy Pelosi. In 2024, she outperformed Warren Buffett. That's how good she is. She outperformed every single major hedge fund in 2024 with portfolio growth of over 70%. You and I would be in prison for that. That's exactly what they put Martha Stewart in prison for like 2 years for, right? For a much, much smaller amount. But Nancy Pelosi, because she's Nancy Pelosi, doesn't get held accountable for it. And this week also, you had, I'm an equal opportunity offender here, folks, right? I'll call you out left, right, that's it. I'm calling balls and strikes here, and I'm not afraid to do it. I don't really care who gets upset with me, because it's like, you know, I'm not trying to preserve feelings here. We just saw Josh Hawley introduce this bill called the Pelosi Act and push it through committee. It passed through the committee, this ban on congressional stock trading, 8-7. But 7 of those 8 that voted in favor of it were Democrats. Hawley was the only one that voted in favor for it, because even the Republicans in reality don't want there to be a ban on congressional stock trading. You know, the rhinos and the neocons up here, that's how they get rich. Trading defense stocks based on insider info, that's money, baby. The 175,000 grand that they make up here every year is just play money. That's go to the bar money. That's it. The real money is in that insider trading info. That's sweet, sweet backroom knowledge. And people should be in jail for it. After the break, bringing back Chase Geyser, talk about Oprah, land grabs, and what she did in Hawaii this week, which should piss off everybody. We're back.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I'll say this. See, this is the beauty when we deal with actual facts. I'll go straight to the United States government policy. You have what's called the National Security Study Memorandum 200, also known as NSSM 200, which was authorized, written under Dr. Henry Kissinger, who was the 32nd Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. Pardon me. Documentation. Now, this is all we go straight to what the U.S. government has stated. He stated, quote, "Depopulation should be the highest priority of U.S. foreign policy towards the third world," end quote. They literally stated in this documentation that we need to get rid of 2 to 3 billion people on planet Earth. Outside of that, you have something called Global 2000, which was also authorized under Jimmy Carter, outlining how food can be used as a weapon. Outside of that, you had someone by the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a former advisor to President Jimmy Carter, who stated, quote, "In earlier times, it was easier to control 1 million people than to physically kill 1 million people." He said, "But now it is infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than it is to control," end quote.
It was easier to control 1 million people, literally. It was easier to control 1 million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control.
So what you're dealing with is the food, the air, the water, reproductive services, Planned Parenthood, and all these different arenas are being used to go towards an effort of getting rid of human beings, black, white, and all in between, by the billions.
I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are diehard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
The negative impact of population growth on all of our planetary ecosystems is becoming appallingly evident.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
But at this point, they are looking at the reality that people are waking up too fast. They didn't expect us to wake up too fast, hence social media being a problem, a gift and a curse.
I've studied the pieces. We've got the owner's manual. We've got the blueprint. And let me tell you, it ain't pretty. UN climate change official says we should, quote, make every effort to depopulate the planet, close quote. There is pressure in the system to go towards that. We should do everything possible to carry that out. I mean, these people are totalitarians. It's eugenics. It's depopulation program. That's why this is the biggest subject that we could possibly cover. It's the reality. And so you think about that. You think about what's going on long and hard. You better look into it, folks. You better find out it's real, okay? You think you're freaked out by this? I know why a lot of you are in denial.
So now that we're waking up so quickly, they didn't expect the masses of humanity to rise up, wake up, become aware of what this government's agenda is. And because of that, now they're trying to figure out exactly how to get rid of people. They say these white folks is waking up. They're coming against us, their government. Black folks is waking up. They're coming against us. So now at this point, they're like, well, just get rid of them all.
Now, back to our program.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. You're watching InfoWars Sunday Briefing with your host, Nick Sordor.
Welcome back. You know, this past week, there was an 8.8 magnitude earthquake out there off the coast of Russia that sent off alarm bells everywhere, right? We saw evacuation orders, tsunami warnings, as close as the West Coast in Northern California, they got tsunami warnings out there. And all of Hawaii was under tsunami warnings for 12 hours that day. And luckily, not much happened, thank God. They had 3 to 5 foot waves at the most, which was a lot better than the 12 foot waves that were anticipated that could possibly be coming. But one of the biggest takeaways from that event this week was on Maui, where I've spent a lot of time. I've spent months on Maui in the past covering, you know, the fires out there that happened. And so I got a chance to meet a lot of people. There were two places. There was one in Kula, which we're going to talk about, and then in Lahaina. That's the one that everybody knows. One in Kula happened around the same time, but nobody was talking about it because Lahaina was so devastating. And this past week, Oprah, who happens to be one of the largest landowners in Hawaii, especially on Maui, owns thousands and thousands of acres out there, refused to open up her road to get people from Wailea along the coast, a low-lying resort area, with a lot of workers, like local workers and tourists. She refused to open her road to get people to higher ground. The only other way around to get to that higher ground was 5 hours because of the gridlock in the length. If we have that graphic, we'll put it up here. It'll show you Oprah's road that runs through her land, where she doesn't want any other roads to be built because it goes, you know, right through her pastures there. That's higher ground up there. So you see the coastline, Oprah's Blue Road, and the only other route to get there, which took 4 hours. I mean, how do you get to that point where you are just such, I mean, are you evil at that point? You know, Chase, I'll bring you in on this. Is that evil? Is that what you would call evil?
Yes, and it happens multiple ways, multiple times. We've seen celebrities do this. It happened in Texas. I think there was one instance where there was some massive storms that were happening, and Joel Osteen, for example, wouldn't let people take shelter in his giant mega church during the week. This is definitely a motif amongst the elite, where they love for your tax dollars and the government to do everything that they're unwilling to do privately themselves. So the same thing with the illegal immigration issue and the defund the police, where all the celebrities were advocating for letting as many illegals in as possible, defunding the police, and then they're increasing their own personal security, and they all live in gated homes. So look, this is just, Oprah's been a problem for a long time. She used to be really cool and talented, I think, kind of in the 90s. You know, there's a famous interview that she did with Donald Trump. I mean, she's definitely a talented woman who has charm, but she's graduated to such a level of eliteness that everyone else is so beneath her that there's no need. I mean, that graphic is incredibly telling. When you have a road that goes straight from point A to point B and you're making people take the high ground, she's practically advocating for a neo trail of tears for everybody in Hawaii so that she doesn't have to worry about whether any stranglers will make their way onto her property.
Yeah, you know, and so they tried to, I broke this story, right? Because I'd spent so much time out there. I knew the road existed. I actually tried to use it while I was out there in Hawaii to get to Kula, where that other fire was. And so, you know, I knew somebody that worked in Wailea down by the coast and lived in Kula. So I asked her, are you able to get up the road? And she went there and noticed, no, the road was closed. They weren't allowing anybody through. And we actually have a clip of somebody, of a local begging for them to open the gate as police guard it. I mean, it's just wild. You know, the she's got the police and the government in her back pocket. If we can roll that clip, that'd be great.
Look at this. I think they're trying to open Oprah's road.
You look close so you can see Schmeagle and a couple of hobbits.
Save us. Roads all the way up country, bro. All the way up country. She got it all to herself. And everybody trying to get in. Cops trying to open it. Nope. Still closed. Man.
Yeah, and it got to the point where Wailea. Oprah's people, this was such a PR disaster, because that was one of the first things I did. I went on X and I called this out. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. The only road, or the only other road to get to the upcountry where you get higher elevation as you're going up the Haleakala volcano, that's why it's elevated, is Oprah's road, and then they're going to keep it closed. I mean, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised at all. That's actually why I started looking into it, because, you know, I knew that there were armed guards there. If you step onto the property, there are sensors and people in 4x4s completely.
Weren't you followed and stuff, Nick? When you were there, weren't you followed and kind of harassed while you were there? I mean, that's one of the reasons that I came to admire you so much, is because of the work that you did both there and in East Palestine, where as soon as you draw any attention to this, you're met with all sorts of federal harassment.
Yeah, and it happened less than 1 mile from that location, actually. So it was very close to her property, very far away from Lahaina. Nobody should have known that I was in that location, because I had a hit, I believe, was with Steve Bannon at like 4 o'clock in the morning local time. And this guy just appeared out of nowhere. Out of nowhere, as I was in my hotel parking lot. So I mean, he had to have been there like waiting for me for some reason at 4 o'clock in the morning, but like how did he know that I was gonna be in that spot in the parking lot doing it at that time? I mean, it was really, really weird. I don't know. We never found out who that was, Chase. Never found out who it was. But Oprah's PR team, of course, went to bat, and they called all their legacy media contacts and stuff, who tried to call me a liar, saying, no, the road was always open. As soon as we got notice that there was a tsunami incoming, we opened the road. Does that road look open to you, Chase?
Doesn't look very open to me. In fact, there's more security on that road than I saw when I was at the border at Eagle Pass.
Right. Yeah,
so you can swim across the Rio Grande easier than you can get from one point to another on Hawaii during a major natural disaster. A very questionable natural disaster. I don't want to get into the conspiracy theory around me out with the Jewish space lasers and stuff like that, but you know that about 6 months before this major fire happened, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of gallons of diesel fuel that were leaked all over the island from the Space Force Center at the top, right after lasers were seen. I believe that the Space Center was hacked and that it caused a fuel pump leak. I don't think the lasers started the fire, but I think the lasers were used to do high-speed hacking. And they failed to clean up that diesel fuel spill all over the mountain for 6 months. Even 4 weeks before the fire broke out, they're like, yeah, we're having a really hard time cleaning up all this oil. And then the island catches on fire. It all seems like some major land grab, weird federal operation that's taken place. I'm disappointed that we haven't heard much about it since it took place.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of the photos that still come out of Lahaina, there was a drone video that came up not too long ago where there's still hardly any rebuild action at all.
They're trying to do the same thing in Los Angeles with the Palisades. You covered this a couple of weeks ago on your show where just destruction happens and they come in and they issue all these permits for affordable housing. Nobody can build their stuff back. And then boom, land grab.
Yep, because they're trying to get it to the point where if people don't understand this part, typically, or they don't think about it anyway, even after your property burns down, you are still responsible for the mortgage, okay? Even if the structure doesn't exist anymore, okay? You still got to pay the mortgage on that property. So if you, at some point, because you're also paying rent or something at another home.
Yeah, and you're paying the property taxes for a property you can't even go to. The government won't let you go to your property, but they won't let you not pay the property tax for it. Imagine that.
Sure. Yeah.
This makes King George's tea tax look like child's play. What do you think George Washington would have done? I think he would have crossed the road.
I would say I may have crossed the road a couple of times too, but I'm telling you here, man.
But Chase, you and Oprah go way back. It doesn't count.
I don't know what the statute of limitations on that is, but the people there in Hawaii, that I noticed when I was there, there's some very good people there, man. But they are so under the thumb of their government, of this tyrannical government, that there's nobody that's willing to even speak up to take it back. That's what they're trying to do for the rest of America. That's what they're trying to do in California, and it's almost working. We cannot let that happen. Dude, California is freaking awesome if you take all the politics out of it, right?
Yeah.
So,
most beautiful place I've ever been in terms of natural weather and things like that, but you have to work 20 hours a day in order to live there, so you don't really get to enjoy the weather in California.
Exactly. So, I mean, just don't let it happen in Texas, man. I know you got a California migration problem into Texas. Don't let that happen there. So, all right, Chase, I'm going to hold you again in the next segment. Appreciate you guys, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes here.
All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy, and feeling really great, fog lifting, to just over the top, crying, it feels so good. Cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra wrestling blue, but he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended, and I forgot to do this. Don't forget when he's on Owen. To tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people initially about 30 minutes, start speaking after a couple hours. But just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely, I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
Several weeks later.
You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. You were here a few weeks ago. And I do this with every guest, more than 50 of them now. Every person has had clarity, energy, a fog lift is the most common. But what's really good is the long-term effects for your stamina, your energy, your libido, your how hard you can work out. It's amazing. So I had forgotten when he was coming in, we gave him a bottle because he loved it.
Almost gone.
I had forgotten to ask you if you listened and did it long-term. So just briefly, tell people the short-term effect and then now a few weeks later, the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before, and it just gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards.
That's good stuff. I need some more.
Well, give me some. How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. It'll take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. Give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theaustriansword.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, now 4 or 5 months ago, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it, I go, I don't know. I was like lifting way more, going way harder. And then I got really exhausted after about a week because the same thing happened to Rob Dew, who's a great long distance, bike rider. So he's quite the athlete. He said he was biking so hard up hills and stuff that he actually had to pull over because, his heart was going crazy. I mean, this stuff's wild.
Yeah, it's good. I like it better than doing like a 5-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
It's not a stimulant. It just skips the oxidization process somehow.
So I've been using it while I'm out there doing search and rescue. While I'm almost out.
You're saying you love it for working out. Has it gotten better over time, or what long-term thing have you felt, or if nothing?
Well, I think just the main thing is it gives me a better workout, and that has good results over time. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I found without even knowing.
Yeah.
And then O'Keefe's like, oh, it made my vision better. And Rob Dew goes, we have a bunch of callers already saying that. Did you see these studies about it, like curing glaucoma? And I'm not going to say, we're not selling this a drug. I'm not saying it's going to do that. I'm like, God, this stuff's crazy. No, they don't want you to know about it. It's like ivermectin.
Right, exactly. Old school stuff.
But you can't take it if you're on SSRIs. And folks, it's so strong. Talk to your doctor first because it's not a game. Ours is really strong. If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes.
It's horrible to watch what happened to this lady named Holly from Cincinnati, the white tourist who was at a jazz festival, walking down the street after the event was over and got brutally beaten by a black mob in the street in Cincinnati and was essentially just left to die. As Bernie Moreno this week, the senator from Ohio, confirmed that nobody even bothered calling her an ambulance. She just laid there, dying in the street almost. I mean, like, if you saw the pictures of her, all the bruises, all the, like, her lips, swollen to the point where it looked like she couldn't even talk anymore. And laying, bleeding in the road. This is actually a more recent one, the one that's on the screen right now, but the initial ones that were posted were just like horrific, but even this is horrific. Look at her face. Look at the bruising that's there. For what? She didn't do anything. There's no evidence of her doing anything. And actually, she's not even accused of doing anything. Nothing can stay. I know this is what they're trying to do now, though, they don't want to talk about Holly. They want to talk about all the other guys that were, people feel less bad for men that are beat to a pulp in the middle of the road. They're trying to say somebody said the N-word, which I guess justifies attempted murder. Chase, what's going on? Does that justify attempted murder?
No, it doesn't justify attempted murder, and I doubt that she said the N-word because I can't imagine any single white woman or white woman walking by herself using the N-word in the presence of a group of black people. I mean, most white women are perch clutchers. They lock the door at red lights if they see someone questionable or homeless crossing the street. They're very sensitive to the fact that they're definitely more likely to be a victim than a predator in any sort of a physical conflict. I find it incredibly hard to believe that she used any foul language, especially if she was coming from a jazz festival. I mean, we know jazz was invented by the African American community, and you don't see a lot of people from the Ku Klux Klan hanging out at jazz festivals right before they burn a cross in their front yard. So I find it incredibly hard to believe that she goes from listening to Miles Davis to calling a group of black people the N-word right before she gets the crap beat out of her.
Yeah, and I mean, I sit here, we laugh about it because it's so absurd, right? The idea of of that accusation. Well, the accusation wasn't even necessarily made about her. They said that, well, somebody around there said the N-word, and Fox posted the clip, and they posted it on X, and it was still just bleeped the whole way through. So, like, how the hell am I don't know if it was a male or a female.
Well, you think if somebody said the N-word, it would probably be that person that would have called 911, right? But since no one called 911, where's the N-word sayer?
Right. Right, exactly. So, I mean, it's a lazy excuse to say, oh, well, this is the justification. Now it all makes sense now. And, you know, you saw that Cincinnati councilwoman, the one that champions the fact that she, I don't even know her name, and I didn't write it down, and I don't really care, because she posted on Facebook justifying the beatdown, saying that she was grateful that it happened. This is the same chick that also pushed to make "quote unquote" racism a public health emergency in Cincinnati. I mean, so you see, well, maybe what the priority.
If white women are getting beat up by black mobs, maybe racism.
That's
is a
the public health emergency. Exactly.
That's it. Well, I love this woman. We got to find out who she is and have her on InfoWars. Sounds like she's a real dime.
You know, and then you get the police chief, Chase, that decided that she was going to initially blame the whole thing on people like me and you for, you know, even talking about the issue, saying that we were just overhyping the entire thing. Meanwhile, at the time, they hadn't made any arrests in the situation because practically no police were anywhere close by and all the assailants got away.
Yeah. Everybody seems to get arrested, Nick, except for people who actually do terrible things? Like every J6er right. gets arrested, but nobody that's responsible for swattings or the Clappers or the Brennans or the Obamas or the Clintons or the Comeys, none of them really seem to get arrested. I mean, the closest thing we got to an arrest was when Comey was brought in for questioning after he said 8647. And I know there are investigations happening, but I'm just so sick of hearing from Republicans and the establishment that we elect to counterbalance this depravity that we see, saying what they're going to do. Instead of just doing something incredible. And I grew up in the Midwest. You know what it's like in the Midwest. Midwest, it's very frowned upon to talk about how awesome you're going to be. You're supposed to just do something respectable. You don't even have to do anything amazing. Just keep your mouth shut and do your part respectably, and you inherently inherit respect in the community. I mean, that's what's so cool about small towns versus cities. Because in a small town, if you ruin your reputation, everyone you know will know forever. I grew up in a small town in Illinois. I graduated in a class of 80 people who I went from kindergarten through 12th grade with. I knew everybody I graduated with since I was 6 years old. And if you ruin your reputation when you're 12 because you do something insane, that ripples through the rest of your adolescence. Same with adults. You have to leave town if you ruin your reputation like that. That's the problem with these Democrats. They live in these cities, and as they do these corrupt and terrible things, they just move from one pocket to the other without ever having to skip town. Well, we need to at least ensure that we get them the hell out of all of our institutions.
You know, Chase, I got to ask you this. Why is it that in every single instance of something like this happening where you bring the police chief on TV, it's always a fat female lesbian? I mean, what's up with that? Why does it seem
things.
Like every major?
Yeah, some of it's DEI. But I think the major reason for this is that no good people want to do those jobs. They're underpaid. They're disrespected. They're almost impossible to do correctly because no matter what you do, some group of people's going to hate you. If you do the right thing, then the baddies are going to hate you, and that's a pain in the butt. If you do the wrong thing, then the good people are going to hate you. And so the only types of people that run for office, especially local office, are people that tend to lack competence somewhere else. They've got a certain level of vanity and narcissism, and they're willing to do an incredibly dirty, disgusting job for a small amount of money because the power and the pride and the ego stroke of having some official position is satisfying enough. And so it just inherently attracts toxic people like some kind of a magnet, where people like you or I or Alex Jones or others that we respect don't want to run for us. I would never run for Congress. And people have asked me to move to districts and consider running, things of that nature. I would never do that because, first of all, you're less effective when you're in there. Second of all, you put your family through all that. Thinking to myself, what kind of a person would even agree to do this? And the answer is never a good person, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, I live a half a mile from the U.S. Capitol at this point, and just living here for the past 6 months, man, I'm like, I can't, the snakes in this town. Like, I don't want to have friends here. I don't want to, you know, get close with people that work at the Capitol, like members of Congress or senators or anything, because they just, they end up expecting things out of you, right? It's transactional, totally transactional. Right. And I refuse to sit there and defend these people when they like, they went like, Anna
just
Paulina
because Lindsey Graham gives you a hand job, Nick, doesn't mean you have to support every war.
Yeah, that's one of my theories as to why Congress is now out of session again. Because, you know, Lindsey Graham was spending, the last time he went to Ukraine on one of his congressional delegation trips, he spent like a million something tax dollars. Yeah. Like, what the hell is he ordering to his room, Chase? I mean,
well, I know what he's ordering.
Yeah, we all know.
They haven't started conscripting the 12-year-old boys yet, have they? Good. Send them straight up.
Oh, my God.
And a tiramisu, please. I know it's French, but I saw you doing blow with Macron. You have tiramisu, right? Tiramisu with 12-year-olds.
I gotta get your take on that before we're out of here, Chase. This is very important. This is vital stuff here. Brigitte Macron, is that a dude?
Yes. I don't know about Michelle Obama, but I know about Brigitte.
Either way, that entire story, like, how old was she when she met,
she was like in her late 30s or 40s, and I think they say he was 14, which I think is the age of consent in France because they're disgusting. He was almost certainly younger than that.
Yeah, fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
God. I feel like that's where a lot of the world's degeneracy starts, is in France.
I know.
They're very widely believed.
Inherently submissive. They get on their knees for everybody. They let the Nazis walk in. But Sidney Sweeney's the bad guy.
And then they just,
Sidney Sweeney never invaded Paris. Honestly, she should. Oh my God. Can you imagine? She'd have to grow her armpit hair though.
Dude, I know. I'm going to start this push to get Sidney Sweeney to the White House now at this point. Apparently, you know, she's being attacked now because she's also registered Republican.
She really
which
puts the White House,
doesn't
she? Isn't
every hot girl, like, every hot girl that hasn't had a bunch of work done, like, naturally hot girl, ends up being a Republican most of the time, it seems. This shouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, they've even done studies on that Republicans are more attractive. I believe it.
You know, look at the pictures of Kendall Jenner before... Or Kylie Jenner before all of her work, and then after, and then you'll understand 100%. Exactly what I mean by natural beauty.
100%.
But anyway, Chase, appreciate you, man. I appreciate it. And,
always an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be back next week, same time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1 p.m. Central, right here on InfoWars.
And by the way, go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and put a round in the heart of the New World Order globalist satanic child fucking cabal.
I signed up for this a long time ago. I signed on the dotted line, not with the devil, but with God. And God showed me the path forward. And I chose this path, and everything that was laid out before me is now proceeding in God's plan. You've always got to remember that Satan has control for a limited time, but it's all part of God's plan. Remember that. When they're laughing at you, when they're lying about you, or they're attacking you, when they're hurting you, when they're killing you, that in the end, this is all just a test. I'm not here to keep my head down. I'm not here to sit on the sidelines. I asked to be in the arena. I prayed to God to help me expose the New World Order. So I'm not like all these other so-called men that aren't in the arena. I'm in the arena. But I want you to know I am fighting for you and for my own family and for all of us. And I need your hope, your prayers, and your support. Christ said, pick up your cross and follow me. And if you're following me, you're going to get persecuted. I know this life is a flash. This is a test. And I'm sure not perfect. Believe that. But I mean well, and I love God, and I love justice. And I am extremely honored to be here. And this is exactly where I wanted to be. But I want to ask you at this part of the most intense fight beginning at the Crucible, as I go in the middle of the enemy hyenas to literally tear me to pieces. You think this is bad? It's going to get a lot worse. I told you a long time ago, I will be destroyed. I told you that 20 years ago. I told you that 10 years ago, because they're coming for you next. And when they're annihilating and killing billions of you, I want you to remember that I fought for you, because through this fight coming, we will overcome these people. I am in the arena. This is where I want to be. This is the way to go down, baby. This is just the beginning.